Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. Thank you for joining us today, for pausing in the craze of life to tune in and to learn how to edge God into what you think, what you choose to do, how you choose to spend your time moving forward so that you can truly be an ambassador for Christ and God can make his appeal through you today. What? It's not all about me. I know. Every day, God's got to bump me and say, it's not all about you, Lauren. It's about me in and through you. So today's topic is a fun one. The learning objective for today's podcast is to understand the depth of God's mercy and love. So when you finish listening to this podcast, it is our intention that you have a deeper understanding of the depth of God's mercy and love. And how does that work? How does that exactly work? And you'll also have an opportunity to reflect on where you get triggered in the midst of his abundant grace and mercy and love. We're going to be doing a little comparison again, similar to the last podcast, on how to rebuke the devil. We're going to be talking about the typology from the Old Testament to the New Testament, one of my favorite things to do. And the topic or the title for today's podcast is the prodigal son, focus on the prodigal son. And it's around, the title is, are you upset that God is showing grace to another human being? Are you triggered? Are you upset? Basically, because you don't think they deserve it. So if there's anyone in your life that you're being triggered by and it's evoking a sense of comparison and envy, similar to the prodigal son, not the prodigal son that came back, but actually the brother of the prodigal son was like, what? I've been serving you my whole life and you're killing the fattened calf and giving them a huge party. What's up with that? How many times have we done that in our life? What? I've been working so hard on this project and that guy gets promoted over me. What's going on with that? So this is a fun podcast. So stay with us. It's going to be a quick one, probably about 30 minutes, and we'll see what the Holy Spirit has in store. So we'll begin in prayer. Father God, we just thank you so much for waking us up today. Thank you for these fun earth school lessons that we can learn from the Word of God, which is sharper than any double-edged sword, pierces soul, heart, and marrow, and just calls us out on our stuff, truly calls us out on the limited mind of the ego when we edge you out because of what we think, what we want, what we need in order to know that we're safe and that we're loved. And so it gets pretty vicious here in our school, Lord. So deliver us, help us. Like when Peter was sinking in the water and he simply called out, help us, Lord, to be truly possessed by you and not the things and the shiny objects of the world that cause us to forget our value. And that your grace and mercy are always available to us and to our neighbor as well, in spite of the ugly behavior that we see around us. So save us from our judgmental hearts, Lord. Help us to drop our stones today so that we can rejoice in your mercy, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those people around us. Help us to be more loving and merciful today than we were yesterday. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, may the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you are a rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm joined today again by my incredible friend and colleague and sister in Christ, Jen Klopek. Jen, thank you for being with us on this powerful topic this morning.
Thank you so much, Lauren. I'm excited to see what God lays on our hearts and shows up. And I'm so excited that the listeners that are tuned in today are going to hear this powerful Earth School message.
Yeah, and that it is. So let me just kind of give a brief summary of what the heck is the Book of Jonah. Highly encourage you to read it, even if you have read it, because it's amazing that the Holy Spirit continues to swing us around to certain Earth School classes that we have not passed. He will bring them in front of us again because he loves us so much. He does not want to keep us stuck. Jonah is one of those books that's quick and fast and furious. It's four chapters. It was written about 760 BC or after 612 BC, somewhere around that time. And Jonah wrote this and when he faced really a battle that was going on, and it was the battle over anger. he was angry that God showed mercy on the Ninevites who lived in Nineveh. And how the heck can you be merciful to these people that have sinned so much and you just quickly just forgive them and release them of their sin because they repented and basically because they had a heart after you? What's up with that? So Jonah wrote this book very quick, only 4 chapters. Originally, he ran from God's assignment. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever done that. I've done that. Jen, have you done that?
Oh, absolutely. Many times.
God puts something on your heart and all of a sudden you're like, nah, I don't think so. It doesn't have the prophet I want. That would be a waste of time. And I don't know where that's going. So we've all experienced that running that Jonah did. And so God was persistent and he went after him. And the typology of the 3 days in the belly of the whale. Perhaps you've had more than 3 days in the belly of the whale. And you've experienced that sense of being rescued from yourself. God rescues me from myself all day long. I have such a huge personality. I give him permission to override me and bump me all day long and remind me that I'm his ambassador and he is making his appeal through me. I'm not my ambassador making my appeal through me. That takes a lot of remembering and grace and mercy. So when God calls you to do something, perhaps you've thought of many reasons why you shouldn't do it and you run away and then he comes and he gets you. Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. Jonah came back to the people of Nineveh as God called him finally after being in the belly of the whale. It's amazing what we learn in the belly of the whale, and went back and followed God's plans and told the people that in 40 days, if they didn't clean up their act, that God's wrath was coming. It's interesting. 40 days, Moses led the people, or 40 years, Moses led the people through the desert. We talked about that in the podcast, How to Rebuke the Devil, the typology of how to rebuke the devil with the 40 years, and Jesus was in the desert for 40 days. So there's lots of overlap here that's going on. We're going to be focusing specifically on chapter 4 because there's something in there that the Holy Spirit woke me up to that it's really a great topic for discussion. And so some of the power verses in Jonah are Jonah 2:7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. When has your soul fainted within you? Perhaps it's been in the last 24 hours. Something outside of you seemed very scary and you didn't feel capable of handling it, which is the definition of stress. Stress is the power you give to outside circumstance to define your worth, value, and what you believe you're capable of handling successfully. And so if the circumstance has more power because you give it to it rather than the strength of God within you, then guess what? That stress hormone is going to be coursing through your body and you're going to only have 3 choices of response: fighting, running, or fleeing, which usually leads to behavior such as stonewalling, negative behavior, negative self-talk, or ugly talk toward others or yourself. And God is, which in Jonah 4:2, it says that God is compassionate. He's slow to anger. Even though we're quick to anger, God is slow to anger and great in loving kindness. And he turns disaster into good. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. He works everything together for an ultimate good. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Jonah chapter 4. Again, if you do not have your Bibles, no worries. You can remember Jonah chapter 4 or visit us at edgegodin.com. There's a one sheet that actually helps you capture the learnings. And again, the learning objective for today is to help you to understand the depth of God's mercy and love so that you can apply it to yourself and offer it as a gift to those around you today. If you're feeling frustrated, if you're feeling resentful, then this podcast is for you. So invite the Holy Spirit to help you to have high noticing around the 1 to 3 things, the learnings, that you have high noticing around. Write them down. Review them within 24 and 48 hours. That increases your chance of transferability up to 75 to 80% if you just go over those learnings that the Holy Spirit prompts you with. And you can re-listen to this podcast. You can print out the one sheet at edgegodin.com, and you can really get down on what's happening when I'm frustrated and resentful here, because I'll tell you what, Jonah is a perfect example of that. Right, sister?
Absolutely.
So we're jumping into chapter 4 here. And this is after Jonah had run from God. God said, hey, I have this mission for you to do. No, thank you. He runs in the opposite direction. God chases him down. There's a conversation that's definitely worth reading with the men on the boat. What's happening? How come this storm is coming? Who has offended God? Finally, Jonah confesses and they throw him overboard, and the whale captures him and protects him. And after that time of reflection, can you imagine being in the belly of a whale for 3 days? He kind of has a change of heart. And in chapter 3, it starts out with saying, okay, now Jonah says, I'm going to Nineveh. So he did. And it was a huge city, the city of Nineveh. And Jonah began to go through the entire city calling out, 40 days, in 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed and trusted in God, in the message that Jonah was giving, and an invitation for repentance. And they did repent in sackcloth and ashes quickly. And the word reached the king of Nineveh, and he actually rose off the throne, took off his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in the dust in repentance, basically as a physical sign of a change of heart. To repent means to shift directions with determination to pursue life in a different way, in a way to glorify God versus self, ego versus living in the surrendered life to Christ. So the king was so moved, he issued a proclamation. In Nineveh, by the decree, the king has issued that no man, animal, herd, flock is to taste anything. So they really went full board with the repentance. God saw this. Just as God, the difference between David and Solomon. Solomon lost his heart after God. He started to pursue the shiny objects of the world, and therefore he lost the favor of God. David, in spite of his sin, and it was massive, in spite of his sin, he had a heart after God. And that's why the Psalms are so powerful. So, in spite of your sin, in spite of my sin, may we continue to fan into flame a heart after God so that we can have an undivided heart and fear his name and remember that the one who calls us is faithful, and he will guide us and give us the strength to do what he calls us to do. So, when God saw the repentance, which brings us to the end of chapter 3, they turned from their wicked ways, then God had profound compassion on them. He decided to shift the disaster that was declared upon him. He decided to drop it because he saw them. He saw that they had a heart after his heart, and he literally decided to show them mercy. Now, this is great. You'd think standing ovation. This is an awesome example of God's amazing mercy at how quickly you turn away. Repenting is to turn away. And rather than to look down at your sin, to look up at God and to move forward to all that he is calling you toward, that which is why St. Paul says, this is what I do. I leave what is behind. I press on to what is ahead and grab a hold of all that Christ Jesus has grabbed a hold of me for. I leave what is behind and I press on to what is ahead. So who knows? It says in 3:9, God may turn and relent and withdraw his anger toward us. And he did. And he was very compassionate. Now, Shazam, chapter 4 kicks in. So Jen, in chapter 4, this is our focus here. After God's compassion, we see literally a kind of a foreshadowing of the prodigal son story that Jesus told. Absolutely. How do you see this? Isn't this amazing?
It is so crazy. As I'm just even looking at it again and just praying, just, you know, Jonah's having a temper tantrum. He's like, what the heck? You know, here they are. I've been doing what you've been asking me to do, Lord. And I'm listening. And I was in the belly's whale for 3 days and I got my act straight. And now I'm out and you're giving your steadfast love to people. What the heck?
I know, right?
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. As I'm looking at verse 1 and 2, you know, it says, but Jonah, this seemed very wrong. So this is from Jonah's perspective. And it's interesting because in life, we look at things from our lens and from our perspective, and he is not even aligning and seeking God. What's God's perspective? What is his ultimate goal? And his ultimate goal is not one should perish, not yep. one. But Jonah's like, whoa, what about me? What about me?
Yeah, it's amazing. And this is where resentment comes in. Hmm. Resentment is like the worm that we read about in here that God sends to devour the plant that God, you know, gives to send shade to Jonah in chapter 4. Resentment rots the bones. And so it's really interesting how, you know, Jonah's like ticked off, just like the brother yep. of the prodigal son. You know, he was so upset when he came in. He's like, what? I have been working for you and faithful to you, and you didn't even throw a huge party or give me the best choice meat to celebrate me. And his father had so much compassion. It gives me chills even saying this. He's like, my son, my grace is always with you. Everything I have is yours. But you're this brother of yours that was dead is now alive again. And we're rejoicing over that resurrection. And yet it's interesting. So I kind of want to toss this back to ourselves and to listeners. How many times do you go through your day, something happens, you hear about someone's successes or God's favor in someone's life, his mercy, and you have resentment that starts to creep in. That's basically like, hey, I've been busting it for so many years, and not once have you given me the fattened calf. Mm. You know,
yeah,
I mean, it's like the drug of approval that leads to profound resentment.
And it can be a slap in the face. I just have a personal story. It's interesting, Lauren, when you first said it, you know, you said, was it the job promotion or was it this in your life that, you yeah. know, someone else got it? And were you being the Jonah or the brother or the prodigal son? And I was going out for a job, you know, years ago as a math resource teacher, and they were going to hire 70 new math resource teachers. And I thought, wow, I've got a pretty good chance of getting this position, going, you know, from a fourth grade teacher to a mathematics resource teacher. And I applied for the job, and I didn't get the job. And I was having a temper tantrum. And yeah. I was kind of like Jonah, like, well, that's not fair. You know, I've got all of the descriptions, and I was a, you know, great hands-on kind of learning type of teacher using resources and manipulatives and all those sort of things. And here's the kicker. Another position came out, and I applied for it, and only two people could get this position as a staff resource teacher. And I got that job. And it's so funny because the temper tantrum that we might have in the moment, that's not God's assignment for us. And so mm-hmm. we're resentful that someone else has gotten something that we wanted, and that was our plan for us. But God's plan is so much larger sometimes. And so even if Jonah hangs out and waits, you know, maybe God's got something better than what we thought was best for us.
I love that story. Thank you for sharing that. And we all, listeners, perhaps you have a story that happened in the last 24 hours, week, month. I'm sure if I sat down face to face with coffee for you and to really listen to what is your story of the prodigal son or Jonah, when somebody else has gotten something that you wanted, how do you respond? There's actually a video on edgegotin.com. What do you do when people are blessed over you? Or when you think you deserve something and somebody else gets it over you, or you're just upset because you've been putting in work and someone else gets blessed and you don't feel that they've been putting in the work to deserve the blessing or the favor. The definition of resentment is to have bitter indignation, negative feelings, even hatred, frustration at having been treated unfairly. And the unfair treatment is when you have when your expectation exceeds your reality, you're going to be disappointed. When your reality exceeds your expectation, you will have satisfaction, a sense of peace and calm. Our expectations of being treated differently, or that, well, I expected you to give them at least 20 days of punishment, God, but God's like totally dropped it. Just as the prodigal son, his father ran to him. And Jesus even shares the story of, if there's 100 sheep and one goes away, then the shepherd will go find the sheep, put it on its shoulders, basically care for it, and bring it back to the fold. There's more rejoicing in heaven over the one sheep that needed to be returned to the flock than the flock that was already there. Because, as the prodigal son's father declared, the heart of God, everything I have is yours. Mm-hmm. Everything. There's no need for us to muck around in resentment feeling or comparison feelings. There's times when I'm looking to my right or to my left, and this is biblical as well. Don't look to your right or to your left. Look straight ahead so that you can hear the voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Don't compare right or left. Those are shiny objects. What's he doing? What's she doing? What's she getting? What's he getting? We do this all day long. And it's kind of a program that's a virus within our system that's causing anger and frustration, as well as feelings of not enoughness. And in Christ, we have everything. We lack nothing in that space. There's a story from my own journey of resentment I have so many of them, I don't even know which one to pick. But one in particular where I had an expectation that I would be able to, and it just happened the other day. I was reading a book written by someone that I said to myself, oh, I could have totally written this book because it's so similar to my story. And it's a very, very powerful story. And the publisher that published this particular book is a publisher that looked at my book and that turned the book that I wrote a while ago down. And I felt rejected. And then I saw that this person was accepted and it was the same story. And so right away, I heard the Lord say, be very careful. Mm. Don't touch that. Wow. I'm using this person because this is my plan for them. Because the other piece that he was kind of teaching me in this is, this is a crisis of trust. When you do this, when you compare yourself or have any resentment of like, how come they didn't pick me? You know, how come they didn't choose me? Anytime that I say that, that is a crisis of trust, because if I am truly, truly, literally walking out Jeremiah 29:11, I have plans to prosper you, says the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future. And also in Deuteronomy, this day I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life that you may live. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. This is God's promise to us. So when I compare myself to someone else, how come that publisher didn't pick me and they picked this person? Rather than saying, you know what, this is an awesome book. This needs to get out into the world and help promote that book, because I know it's good and God's going to use this person in another way because he's using me in different ways. If I truly, truly have trust, and if you deeply have trust, that God sees you, that God adores you and has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, there is no need for comparison. There's no need for resentment or anger, like Jonah said. Jonah was angry, and the Lord said, he was basically saying, I can't believe that you would revoke the sentence of disaster on them just like that. And then in Jonah chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, he was so extreme, you guys. He was so extreme in his anger. And I've totally been there. I've been so mad. I'm like, forget it. I'm not doing anything, man. Nothing I can do. And you know, you just throw everything down. It's an adult temper tantrum. Jonah's having an adult temper tantrum in Jonah chapter 4, verses 3. Therefore, he says to the Lord, take my life. Forget it. It's better for me to die than to live if you're going to show them this favor and there's not going to be justice. So he's not trusting that God has a perfect plan for everybody. And then the Lord said, he doesn't even address that. The Lord comes back and says, do you have a good reason to be angry? That's all he says.
So Lauren, today, that's so powerful, isn't
it? Do we have a good reason to be angry?
Coach. And I know we're both coaches. And so this is like, again, God's ultimate coaching question for us. Is it right for you to be angry, or take out angry and fill in your own blank, listeners? Yeah. Is it right for you to be resentful? Is it right for you to be frustrated? Is it right for you to be blank?
And where is there a crisis in trust? What do you need to gather to yourself, or what do you want to remember to help expand and anchor your sense of trust that God has plans for you? And it's not rejection, it's just direction. Where is there a crisis? Where is there a leak? Somewhere along your journey, there's been a leak and you started to spill out of yourself and give part of your identity to your position, to what other people are doing in comparison to what you're doing. What's that about? What happened?
Yeah.
What needs to be resurrected within you in terms of your trust relationship with the Lord moving forward, so that you can release this? So for Jonah, he stayed in his anger, right? Cool thing is, listen, when I went through advanced cancer, I had so much anger. And I had this punching bag that I used for training for my black belts in my basement. And I went down and I was so angry, I started punching this bag right after the diagnosis so hard that my knuckles were bleeding and the tops of my feet were blistering. I was kicking and punching the bag because I had so much anger. God does not say, don't be angry. Just don't let the sun go down on your anger. So, and same thing with the pity party. I was speaking to someone the other day and they were just totally like the man who'd been crippled for 38 years at Bethesda, the pool. And Jesus comes up and he's like, well, I try to get into the pool, but everyone keeps jumping in front of me. And Jesus looks at him, doesn't even give any fire to his pity party, but simply says, get up. So if you're going to have a pity party, set the timer. I'm going to feel sorry for myself for 15 minutes. Set it. Feel sorry for yourself. When that alarm goes off, you stand up, pick up your mat and move forward and see what God has in store for you. So Jonah did what I usually do. So he's angry. And even the Lord speaks to him. Do you have a good reason to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat east of it. So he didn't even stay in the city. He was so upset. So how many times has something happened, someone else is blessed over you, and you're like, forget it, and you storm out of your life. You just check out. And he made for himself his own little shelter outside of the city. So he disengaged in life. So how many times, or where are you today with your disengagement when things don't work out the way you want them to? What shows up in your behavior? What do you do? What do you look like? What do you, if I'm watching you, this is a Sherpa coaching question. If I'm watching you, what am I seeing? This is what we see with Jonah here. So the Lord prepared, so he creates his own shelter. He leaves, he disengages, basically checks out. That was his behavior. So the Lord, being a good God, because he has plans to prosper us, and he promises never to leave us or forsake us. So he's with Jonah in his anger, and he prepares a plant that grows up over Jonah to be his shade, because it's hot, to spare him from the heat, the burning heat. And Jonah, happiness returns. We're so fickle, right, Jen?
No.
It's like, oh, now I'm happy. Thanks, God.
Absolutely. I'm joyful, dependent on my circumstances. Not...
if things are working out for me, man, I'm feeling so happy. This is so great. Our true Earth School class, you guys, comes if can we be happy when things go our way or when they don't?
Amen,
when we get our
sister.
Desired outcome or when they don't. That's living in non-attachment, only having one attachment to your heart to God's. Well, God, if this didn't work out, obviously you have something better. Flip the script. That's
something
sabotaging
better.
Your peace.
He always does. He always has something better. Always.
He truly does. And so Jonah was extremely happy. The plant pops up and he has it for some time, right? So how many of you have had a plant pop up to shade you from the heat of the world? And you just have a momentary respite, maybe a day, a week, maybe you're on vacation. You take a deep breath. You're like, okay, life is good. Then all of a sudden a worm slithers into your life. So God sends a worm. And because basically it's like, okay, time's up. Pity party's over. The worm comes in. Time of refreshment is up. And it attacks the plant. But see, God had a bigger plan here with this worm and the plant. And this is the metaphor that Jen and I really wanted to point out and bring to the front lines of your attention and reflection this morning. God sends this worm it eats up the plant. So this plant withers, right? So then the heat of the sun, again, is beating down, or the heat of the world. Like, what's beating down on you today that's causing sunburn in your mind, causing you to feel spun in some way? And God even, the intensity actually increased. It says in verse 4, Jonah chapter 4, verse 8, the intensity increases, right? So there's a scorching east wind, and the sun beats down on Jonah's head so that he fainted and he wished he could die again. So he goes back. He was happy. So notice the ping-ponging of emotions, right, Jen?
Mm-hmm. Which never happens in real life, does it, Lauren?
No. I mean, it's like he's totally like, it's so crazy. He's like, I want to die. This is ridiculous. This is so unfair. When was the last time did you say this is unfair? This isn't fair. What's really going on with that, Jen? Like, yeah. When you say it's not fair.
It's, again, from our lens and our perspective, and we only see in part where God sees in whole. So when we're doing life and walking through life, we're looking at it through our lens saying, God, this is so unfair. But God knows, again, his plans for us as we keep going back to Jeremiah 29:11, for us to, you know, prosper us, not to harm us. And the funny thing is, it's even here in when Jonah's happy about the plant, he never once really praises God for what God had given him. Mm-hmm. And I'm even thinking in life too, you know, we might bump along and forget to thank God for his mercies that are fresh every day for us. And, you know, how things can come into our life, and as quickly as they can be taken away from us because it is just temporary. And this plant, you know, was just temporary for Jonah. Now he's got the other, you know, parts of life that aren't so comfortable that are starting to creep in, such as the scorching sun and the wind and all of that. And then he grew faint again. And it's like, you know, okay. And I look at Jonah and I think, you're so silly, but I look at myself. And how often do I do this? You know, when I'm growing faint, who am I calling on for my strength? It's usually for myself, you know, and he wanted to die again and said it would be better for me to die than to live. And he goes, you know, on this pendulum, which we do in life, and just remembering our connection. I know this, the book that we're writing together, I'm so excited. It's going to be, it's done. It's, you know, it's that refreshment. And when you refresh, you need to reconnect to your one true source, and our true source that sustains us through all of life is God.
Amen.
And when we're not connected to that link and to that true source, then our emotions can just be tossed around by the waves, you know, and lead us into the belly of a whale.
And death, like statements in our mind,
yes,
that bring death versus life. That's the battlefield of the mind. Like Joyce Meyer talks about that. It's like death that bring death versus life, because his death script starts to speak again. So what is your death script?
Mm.
What are the phrases? What's your go-to phrase when things don't work out the way you want them to?
And if we focus on those things, those are the things that are going to grow in our life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Your reticular activating system is a great piece that God includes in our earth suit, and it's located at the base of your brainstem and base of your, if you go to the back of your skull and just kind of push in the top of your brainstem, there is the reticular activating system. And it's basically like an internal lawyer. And what it does is it tunes into whatever you choose to focus on. Mm-hmm. So if you say life's not working out for me, and you have a negative script, then guess what? Your perceptions will start to distort, delete, and generalize information that back up your impoverished view of reality. Great news is you get to program it. That's the free will. You can choose to focus on God's word. You can rebuke, like the podcast Rebuke the Devil. You can rebuke with scripture those negative thoughts and say, no, God has plans to prosper me. He has plans to guide me. Thank you, God, for blessing this person in their plans and what God has done for others. I have full confidence he will do for me and more in his purpose, in his timing, and for his glory. One of the prayers that Jen and I have been praying lately is a prayer that God put on my heart a couple years ago, and I was actually afraid to pray it. I was actually scared to pray it when the Holy Spirit, it was one of those shower epiphanies a couple years ago. And it was actually came after a comparison moment like this when I was like, I can't believe that they got that opportunity and they didn't ask me. You know, it was one of those like self-pity moments. And God put this prayer on my heart because I didn't have good character then. And he's always working on my character, but he literally said to me, have this be your prayer moving forward. And it goes like this: Dear God, I give you permission to withhold territory from me. I give you permission to withhold territory from me until I have developed the character to handle it in a way that glorifies you. Mm-hmm. And I've said many different versions of that. But Jen, what does that prayer do?
Oh my goodness. Well, first, when you shared that prayer with me a couple of months ago, I was like, that's a great prayer for Lauren to pray for herself. And at that point in time, I didn't want to pray it for myself.
For you, not for me.
I'm telling you, you know, that, I mean, the flesh part of me is like, wow, if you really think about what Lauren's saying, listeners, that's a powerful prayer. Like, don't let my territory increase. Don't let me have more unless I have that character that I need to be able to tend to whatever it is you place in front of me. And so it's a lesson, an earth school lesson on what type of character traits do I need. We're the walking Bible. Sometimes we're the only Bible someone will ever read. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be walking in that. And so I have been praying that, I will say, in the last couple of weeks, and I've been kicking and screaming, because truly at the end of the day, that's what I want for my life. And if that means, you know, not having more business or whatever that is for you listeners, fill in the blank, then I'm willing to be in the belly of the whale for the moment of time that I need to be in order to develop the character that I need to have. And another prayer that we've been praying these last couple of months is John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. And that's a development in character as well, because as he's increasing in our life, his character is going to be that much more. And those character traits and those flaws that don't add value or glorify God, which is our ultimate purpose here on earth, is to bring God glory, honor, and praise, then I need to have those character traits that align with that. And it's a hard prayer, listeners. Very hard.
It is a really hard prayer. And the Holy Spirit's bringing to my mind, I literally heard, don't forget the subtitle to that prayer, which came quickly after that prayer, was a prayer inviting, the Holy Spirit said, ask for my help in this, because if you master this, you'll be free. And one of my favorite verses, which edgegodin.com is built on, is Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself, meaning you have a choice to allow yourself or not in that phrase. Don't allow yourself to be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Mm-hmm. And so the follow-up prayer was, Dear God, grant me the grace to rejoice in the success of other people over my own. To rejoice more in the success of other people more than my own. And when I prayed that, I remember before the Lord, I cringed. I literally like cringed and I was like, oh, I don't know if I want that, Lord. And I saw myself because I you know, was looking in the mirror. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want that, you know, to rejoice. And then my soul came to life with fire because I said out loud afterwards, I said, oh my gosh, Lord, I do want that prayer, because if I can truly rejoice in the success of other people over my own, then I'm free. I'm not burdened.
And you just summarize what Jonah could have done. You know, he could have celebrated in the success of the Ninevites, like saying, hey, God, this is great. And then what a later version, I know that's your phrase, would have been, you know, for Jonah, like moving forward.
Absolutely.
And so you're encouraging me to add that prayer to the first part of the prayer.
Yeah, it's a good one. Let me know the results.
Back in with me.
The Holy Spirit. So I don't take any credit because he laid it on my heart. He goes, if you want to pray boldly, Lauren, you want freedom, you want to step into Galatians 5:1, then start praying this prayer. And it gives me chills even as I'm saying that, listeners, because I know that you guys that are listening, you know what I'm talking about here. Because this is what tosses us around like a cat toy. This is when we don't have an anchor. And so this is the anchor, when we are anchored in Christ and we know he has plans for us, so much so that we trust him beyond circumstance, so that our peace doesn't rise and fall depending on what's happening in the world, but is anchored. Jonah, we see in chapter 4, his peace was rising and falling. I want to die. Oh, now I'm happy. I want to die. it goes from I want to die. It's better for me to die. Chapter 4, verse 3. to happy, chapter 4, verse 6, to I want to die, chapter 4, verse 8. I mean, within a couple of verses, and we flip it back and forth like that all the time. But then God's response was this. Do you ever, again, calmly, he repeats, God repeats exactly what he said to Jonah after his first temper tantrum in chapter 4, verse 4. Do you, in chapter 4, verse 9, he says it again. Do you have a good reason to be angry? Mm-hmm. That the plant, that because he was angry that the plant that was giving him shade was gone. So what is your plant that perhaps you had that was giving you shade that is now gone from your life? Mm-hmm. And what are the ramifications in your behavior because the plant that you once had is not there anymore? Be very careful not to spill out of yourself to the circumstance, but to pull up that drawbridge and reconnect to God. God, I don't have this plant anymore that was giving me shade, that was refreshing me. And I trust that you'll send another one. I trust that your grace is sufficient, that your power is made perfect in weakness, as St. Paul said. And so God said to Jonah, do you have a good reason to be angry about the plant? And Jonah said, I have. And he said, I have a very good reason to be angry. Angry enough to die. does this sound familiar, you guys?
We never act like this, do we?
I just want to die. When I was going through the cancer, and it got so bad sometimes when I was bald and breastless and I'd gone through the divorce, and I'm like, I have nothing. I'm like, maybe you're just telling me my time's done. And wow. I totally had pity party. And I kept hearing Jesus say, get up. Get up. And he used my son one time when my son creeped in and found me having a pity party over the loss of my hair. I was weeping and he snuck up behind me, put his little hands on my head and said, Mommy, don't cry. Your soul still has hair. Mm-hmm. And so that gave me the remembrance of what my soul always knows. In Christ, I lack nothing. Mm-hmm. My circumstances can change and God is my anchor. So the Lord responds to him and says, and we're closing with this, you had compassion on the plant for which you did not work, in which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Many of the things that we enjoy just come and go, and it's the blessings of the Lord. Wealth, we're told, is because God gives us wisdom and strength to get wealth. And I'm not a fan of the huge secret and, you know, think about being wealthy and you'll be wealthy, because we're God's ambassadors here. Amen. That's a worldly game. We're playing the infinite game of life. If Christ desires to bless us, we keep working with all of our heart as if working for the Lord and not for man. Mm-hmm. And we accept with much gratitude the blessings he sends us without comparison or resentment. And so God is reminding Jonah, which he's reminding all of us, hey, you had compassion on this plant, which you didn't even work for, and it was given to you, and now it's gone. Then he brings him back to our learning objective, to understand the depth of his mercy. Just as the prodigal son turned to his son that was with him the whole time, so too God is turning to Jonah in Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. Should I have compassion on Nineveh, a great city where there are more than 120,000 people who do not know the difference between their right hand and their left hand? So they didn't even know what they were doing. That's why they quickly repented, right? It's when Jesus came to the sinners and saved those, and they turned so quickly because they're like, oh my gosh, I could be free. Because they didn't think highly of themselves in that situation. So they turned quickly. So God's like, should I not have compassion on 120,000 persons as well as many of these animals? And that's how the book of Jonah ends. So the question to us today, should we not have compassion on other people? Even in the political arena and the bashing and the bullying that's going on and judging people, the rock throwing that's going on, should we not have compassion as God has had compassion on us? Mm. He who is without sin cast the first stone. Be grateful for the healing that God is sending you and stand firm in confidence. No, God, you have plans to prosper me. Thank you for blessing my sister in Christ, my brother in Christ, and use their ministry or use their person in this world to make you recognizable. And if they don't follow Christ, pray that they will. Make yourself recognizable to them. Lord, you have plans for me though. Don't waste your time looking to the right or the left. Keep your eyes looking ahead and understand the depth of God's mercy and love for you and for your neighbor. Any closing thoughts, Jen, before
I'm
we...
just looking at 2 Peter 3:9, and we've talked about this one before in other, I think, Edge God In podcasts, but instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And so God's patient with us, and we need to be patient with others. And I just think about, we're not fighting against, you know, we're fighting against the principalities of the world, you know? And so when we're frustrated with other people, it's just all of what this earth brings. It's like not against flesh and blood, but just other
the spiritual things. Forces of evil.
Absolutely. And so when we're taking a look at other people and, you know, we need to be compassionate is what I'm trying to say. Show mercy, steadfast in love, just all the character things that we're working on ourselves daily with other people to be a little bit of the light and salt in this world.
Amen. What was that? 2 Peter?
That was 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. So he wasn't slow with keeping his promise with the Ninevites, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And that's what God's created us to bring him glory. And he doesn't want one person to perish.
And his timing is not ours, because in 2 Peter 3:8, I believe it says, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, but he's patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to eternal life. Should we not also show that same mercy? That's such a powerful verse, Jen. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit put that on your heart. We'll put that up on this particular podcast, the scripture studies. Basically, it's the book of Jonah. Our emphasis today is on Jonah chapter 4. We'll add that quote from 2 Peter 3:9. For your reflection as well. Again, what's your takeaway? What is the Holy Spirit burning into your heart? What is he inviting you to drop? What are you holding on to that you have become imprisoned to? What expectations do you have for yourself and other people that are blocking the grace and mercy of Christ from being a reality in your life and in the lives of the people entrusted to your care? This is my focus this week. I think my second time or third time I've read through the book of Jonah, because I'm guilty. I want to be free from this. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. May we stand firm and not allow ourselves to be burdened by the yoke of slavery, by resentment, by the bobbling about of circumstance, by comparison, by thinking that something's unfair when someone else gets blessed over us. There's a lot of that sense of taking offense these days, but not surprising, because Jesus said in the end times, people will have an increased experience of taking offense. And we're seeing it everywhere, you guys. Stand firm. Don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. You are Christ's ambassadors. We are Christ's ambassadors. He's making his appeal through us for his glory. Now is the time to rise up, to pick up your mat, and to go forward, and to grab a hold of everything that Christ Jesus has grabbed a hold of us for his glory. And I love how compassionate God is, and he meets us in our anger. And he said with much compassion, Jonah, should I not have compassion on 120,000 people and these animals? And he leaves it and he drops the mic at the end of Jonah. That's a drop the mic.
it sure is. And I guess from the coaching perspective, Lauren, again, I'm just blown away and just even getting this revelation now, just God asking these questions. He's not Absolutely. Telling, he's asking a question, and it's for Jonah to figure out, you know, and this is for us as listeners to figure out for ourselves too, is to ask ourselves these questions when these things slither into our interior castles, you know, what's going on? And I love my biggest takeaway today, and I loved it, how God just uses you with these analogies, like don't look to the left, don't look to the right, but have vertical alignment. And that's where you're going to get the freedom. And that's just such a huge takeaway. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being available to the Holy Spirit to speak through you today. This is a powerful topic. Again, our learning objective was to expand your understanding of the depth of God's mercy and love, to recognize yourself when your emotions become the boss of you. And therefore, the ramification is they shift your behavior. And as a result of lights off behavior, below the line behavior, it's flatlining your ability to make positive connections. And Sherpa Executive Coaching, We have a statement, positive skill sets plus positive behavior equals positive impact on business. And I like to say, and personal life. because you can't give out what you haven't mastered within. And when you have these positive skill sets, reading the Word of God, maintaining it in your heart, storing it within your heart, and you have that, the ramification is shifting your positive behavior. We're focusing on weaknesses here, and that's what we do with Sherpa Coaching, is we focus on the weakness and to minimize the weakness so the strengths can expand by the grace of God, which has that positive impact on the world because we are His ambassadors and He's making His appeal through us. So, Jen, where can listeners find more information on the work that you're doing in this world?
I guess the majority of this, the spot is the Sherpa Executive Coaching. So if you go to Sherpa Executive Coaching, you can check out everything that Sherpa has to offer and really working on behaviors like character. That's what we do at Sherpa Executive Coaching. And the verse that's coming to my mind, I'm not quite sure what it is and where it is, but it's hide your word in my heart so I don't sin against thee, Lord. And that's kind of like the ministry of Edge God In podcast is so important that we learn what God's word is so we don't sin against the, and those are usually the behaviors, our weaknesses are our sins. So yeah, you can check out that website and find out more information on Sherpa Executive Coaching. Thanks, Lauren.
Yeah, absolutely. We love that process and everybody at Sherpa. We're all believers and working in the corporate world as well. And that's kind of cool as well. So it's actually SherpaCoaching.com is the main site.
Thank you.
But it comes up as coaching. That's okay. You guys can explore more information there on the work that Jen's doing. And I'm a part of that group now, gratefully.
Yes.
And so, and then for Edge Got In, edgegotin.com. Again, visit us and you can listen to more of the podcast there. The one that really walks hand in hand with us is How to Rebuke the Devil, that podcast as well. And don't forget that one sheet to capture your learnings as well. Write those down. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you transfer them into your behavior moving forward, because that's what the stickability that the Holy Spirit's after. He wants this to stick, not, wow, this is a great podcast. Then you walk away and just go back into being thrown about by the world. Really grab what's for you. And then take it with you and start to practice it with the power of the Holy Spirit within you. So, sweet Jesus, thank you so much for this time today. Give us the grace to learn the lesson that your grace is sufficient, that your power is made perfect in our weakness, that your help us expand our ability to understand the depth of your grace and mercy. Help us to personally experience that depth of your grace and mercy. In fact, we boldly come before you. Help us to remember the depth from which we've been saved. Because coming from this humble space, we will drop all rocks and we will just crawl up into your lap, Lord, and just thank you all day long for your mercy and your love. And we'll be able to allow that to spill over into the lives of those people around us. There's no time for the comparisons, for the jealousies, for the resentment. That's the world's game. You have set before us life and death, blessings and curses. Grant us the grace to choose life that we may live, that we may love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we would stop letting our emotions and outer circumstance be the boss of us. Thank you for the example of Jonah being bobbled about. Oh, I'm happy. No, I'm resentful. No, I'm happy. Now I'm angry. Help us to be steady, steadfast in our emotions. Help our emotional intelligence to be rooted in you so that we can rejoice with those who rejoice and that are blessed by you without feeling less than about ourselves. And that's a grace. Tell you what, God, that's a grace and we need it. So give us that strength to be able to rejoice more in the successes of other people than our own. And we pray for the ability to be able to remain in you more today than yesterday. We love you, Lord, and we are nothing without you. Pray that you bless every listener that's on this podcast today with the ability of self-reflection and to be able to truly learn what it feels like to run and not grow weary and walk and not faint and to experience the freedom that you died to give us. Lord, we thank you that you think of us and we're here to be your ambassadors. So make your appeal through us, less of our own ego and more of you, God, because that's where we're at peace. That's where our joy is complete, walking in that fellowship with you. We love you, Lord, and we give you permission to withhold territory from us until we've developed the godly character to handle it in a way that glorifies and honors you. I totally forget. I'm sure I'm not alone on this, that I'm not here for me. I'm here for you. And you died to win my heart. So grant us your grace and mercy and help us to experience that so it changes our behavior so that we can be the light of the world and that people will see our good deeds and give glory to you. In your most precious name we pray, in the name of the Father and the Son. Thank you, Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit in and through us. Amen. All right. Give them heaven, not hell. Give them heaven. Thank you, Jen, for joining us today. And may God bless you guys. Have a blessed day. And we look forward to the next Edge God In podcast. Again, visit us at edgegodin.com.